The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Steve! Yeah. Steve, I started recording, fella. Can you stop your cooking?
Oh, sorry. Hiya.
Hi there. It's the Weekend Podcast. You may have noticed if you tune in for the first time. It's a little bit different from the normal weekday podcast where I chat to CEOs. I chat to CEOs and market commentators. On the weekend, I had two buddies of mine, Pete and Steve, who are also investing, but Steve is cooking soup. He said to me, "Oh, listen, I've got to put my soup in now in the microwave. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be gone 1 o'clock. Can't eat then." This is a guy who lives on his own. It's like, Steve, you can have no rules. You're like an old lady. No. Oh, I've got to have my dinner by 1 o'clock. If I don't have it by 1 o'clock, I'm going to be, and I'm eating too late, we won't be hungry tonight.
If you have your lunch too late then, you're going to be hungry for tea then. You've got to make sure you find, you know, the gap in between.
Steve,
it
depends what time you have tea.
Yeah. It's all relative.
You're a young single man. You can go to bed. You can have tea at midnight if you want.
You can have breakfast at midnight.
I'm
going to rugby tonight.
Oh, I'm going to sit down, put my blanket on my legs and watch the rugby and have my tea. Oh, right. Favourite slippers on. Put the tea. Get snuggled. Get snuggled right before the game. Right, get my tea ready.
But that is actually the truth, isn't it, Steve?
I can't see how he's single, this guy. Look at him.
I got ham and cheese chicken Kievs for tea tonight and I want to be hungry when I get to cook them.
When did you buy those?
A couple of days ago.
Did you buy those with a plan? Oh, I know, the rugby's on Saturday. I get myself ham and cheese, chicken Kiev. Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Justin, you've done exactly the same. I don't know why you're...
As we're recording this on the Friday, of course, in fact, this probably goes out and say, we'll have known whether Wales... how big the margin was that Wales smashed France in France, the Six Nations. First game, the Six Nations, of course. And
England and Wales both have very hard starts to the Six Nations.
Yeah, you got Ireland. Let's be honest, Ireland are the team, aren't they, really? They're going to smash you. My memory's getting bad. I'm getting like Steve. But last season, England started off very confident and full of themselves. Was that last season?
I mean, that's every season, isn't it?
but they came out and said, we are now on form. And they came out and they progressively got worse and they end up above Italy, did they? Is that the last season, wasn't it? Just remind me, Peter.
Just north of Italy, that's right.
Geographically and point-wise. But yeah, what happened? It just fell apart, didn't it? The campaign just fell. The wheels come off the campaign, didn't it, really? You know?
Yes, off the chariot.
Yeah, exactly. The chariot fell apart last season.
It'll be interesting this season. I don't know, I'm not sure. Not sure it's going to be much different, but we'll see.
Do you think? Well, you think they'll follow?
Well, I think Ireland are going to be all-conquering. Wales will be there or thereabouts, and don't know where England will be.
It's like an assault course where the first, obstacle is the biggest wall on the course. You know, isn't it? You have to get over that big. You're knackered then for the rest of it.
The Grand Slam for Wales could be over tonight, couldn't it?
You can never tell. Never tell.
Thanks, Steve.
We've got our rugby correspondent, Steve.
Yeah, you can never tell. Bing! Oh, sorry, it's my microwave in the background. It's my soup. What soup you have, Steve?
Tomato.
Was that it? Tomato.
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 Yeah, I kind of said that. I was going to say something else after.
Was going to be something. Tomato and something, tomato. Is that a new one? Is that like a long O on the end? Tomato.
I was going to tell you that. No, I'm not kidding. I'd say a bit of Tabasco and pepper sprinkled in there.
Oh, yes, to spice it up a little. Not just tomato, it's a bit of homemade spice.
Living on the edge, isn't he?
Yeah, so look for his edge. Ham and cheese, Kiev tonight. Do you know what? I find soup an absolute waste of time.
I love soup.
All I like soup with is if you have bread with it. Dip the bread in, I love that. But soup on its own, it's a diet food, isn't it? Let's be honest. It's a diet.
That's your carb obsession there, isn't it? You know, you need bread, whereas just soup is a good, wholesome bit of food, isn't it?
I agree.
Now, what make you got? Is any good, Steve? What make is it?
Oh, it's Aldi's own.
Oh, is it? Is that any good?
Yeah. Well, I can't tell the difference between tomato soups and the premium Heinz and all them, so I just go for the cheapest and it tastes exactly the same.
I thought it was a reflection of your portfolio at the moment. You've gone from Heinz to Aldi now.
I wouldn't say Heinz was premium, though, would you? It's an affordable brand. I mean, premiums, there's now premium soups above that, isn't there, that cost more and they're made organically and all that stuff.
Fresh soup, true. Yeah, but in the tinned market, I'd have thought Heinz kind of have it, don't they?
Yeah.
Campbell, something, I don't know. Why are we talking about
like I said at the start, this is different to the weekday podcast. This is stock, shares and soup.
To be fair, soup is very much like stock.
Well, yeah, stock. Yeah, very good.
There we go. Segue into it.
So, I've seen. Do you know what? I've got 10 stocks I'm happy with at the moment, right? 10 stocks I'm happy with. I'm going to stick with them all year, unless, like I said in one of my videos, there's these three reasons why you should sell a stock. One, the story changes. From the reason why you initially invested has changed dramatically in some way. And secondly, you think there's better allocation of capital. You know, elsewhere, so you think it's not doing anything, it's not responding in a way, so you can allocate your capital somewhere else more efficiently. Or thirdly, you become overexposed because the stock has risen to the point where, you know, you've basically got too much of it in your portfolio, so dominating. It's not a bad problem to have, though.
So, are you going to give us a rundown of the 10?
Yes, I'm going to try to get alphabetical. I'm not going to mention one because I only bought it yesterday. But I'm going to do a video on the weekend and do 10 stocks and run through.
So, just before you start, are there other stocks in your portfolio or have you consolidated now just to 10?
I got BT. I'm not including that.
Okay, yeah. Right.
And also got Ananda Developments, which is like a tiny little bit of that, and I bought it through an app, and I don't know where that's sitting. It's sitting in a Jarvis account somewhere. I don't know it's not actually in my ISA, so I don't include it really. But so BT and Ananda. But apart from that, I've got 10. I'm talking about small stocks. Most of them are revenue stocks. Most of them are heading towards profitability. They're mostly tech. I realize I do like tech. I'm not going to be exclusively tech, but most of these are quite newish tech, you know, and I quite like tech.
So this week, you like tech.
I've always liked tech. I look back at it. I've always liked tech. And do you know what? You know, Versailles have been very good for me. EVRH has been very good for me, you know. I've always liked tech, really. I do like resource stocks as well, but I just haven't got that much in there. And do you know what? I've seen actually people on Twitter having a good January. I'm glad, people are having a good January. It's a good rebound. People are going double-digit percentage. I've seen quite a few people saying my portfolio is up by, you know, double-digit percentages, and that's a good rebound in resource stocks. I know a couple of these guys are resource-heavy. Mine hasn't done that well. I'm sitting on a lot of cash. So obviously, it takes a bit to move the portfolio because a lot of it will move. Cash doesn't move, obviously. But I'm up by just 7% this January, which is not bad. You know, you do that month on month. It's a cracking return. But I've seen people do really a lot better than that. But I'm not exposed that much. I'm down to 40% in cash. So I have bought a little bit. So I was at 50%. Anyway, let's go through them. In fact, why don't we do yours as well? What are yours? How many stocks do you hold at the moment?
Too many.
7,000. Yeah. No, I think, do you know, I like 10. And the things I'm comfortable with. Yeah, I like 10. I'm happy with that. And I don't want any more than that. I mean, you get fund managers and all that stuff. They have loads of them, you know. And, I just broke my cup. I've got a very good, what's it called? Flask. You put stuff in. It's called Bottom. It's called the best, apparently best. And it stays hot for ages, but I just broke the top of it. And that was a Christmas present. Anyway, so first nice. One, in alphabetical order, all right? Is Bidstack. Yep. Needs no introduction. Gaming industry advertising, massive hot sector, streaming, massive. I think it's going to be massive. All right, do your own research, everyone. As I always say, this is like Dragon's Den a little bit, you know? Obviously, this is more professional than Dragon's Den. But we put out some ideas, the stocks we own, we're very biased on them. So we are the person walking into the Dragon's Den with the ideas here. And you can say, I'm out. Well, I'm in and do some further research, you know, do your due diligence. That's all it is. Any ideas? They're all small caps, so they're very highly risk, you know, high risk. But I like Bidstack, and I said gaming industry is massive, it's bigger than any other industry.
But this time next year, they'll all be worth 10 times what they're worth now.
At least, yes. So that's, so Bidstack is it.
Oh, no. asterisk, potentially not.
Yeah, potentially yeah. not. Yeah, investments can go down as well as up,
It can go up and down, or down and down and down.
Or they can do nothing for ages and you sell and then they go up. Or they can do nothing for ages or you buy and then they go down. So that's cool. So that's VidStack. Obviously, the advertising area of in gaming is underserved. By the way, it's February the 1st. This month, Dirt Rally 2 launches. One of the biggest and most respected, a BAFTA-nominated company for all their rally stuff. That launches very soon, obviously this month, 26th, I think it is. And that's another revenue stream for VidStack because they're in that game. They're already in. What's the other one they're in? Football Manager, yeah. So, Sociable Soccer is launching in China. I've seen lots of Chinese licenses come out because they issue licenses allowing the game. That's expected to be sort of March. That's a massive audience. Sociable Soccer, they're also in that. So I don't know when that's happening, but hopefully March. But then that's two games then they'll be in doing revenue. B, Big Dish, Ticker Dish. I quite like this idea. Have I mentioned this before?
Yes, but I haven't been tempted into it.
Yeah, do you know anything about it, Steve?
No.
Okay.
Come on, Steve.
Looking at on Friday, up 19%. They're literally... They IPO'd in August, right, at 4.5 pence. They raised about 2.2 million. Aidan Bishop is the founder. They hit a low of 1.4 pence recently. But I've had Aidan on the podcast, and what it is a little app. Listen to this, Steve. I think you'll like this. Listen, you are one of the dragons in Dragon's Den, okay? And I'll pitch this idea to you. So it's basically disruptive food technology, food tech, you know? Now, food technology company, the food industry is highly competitive in Britain. It's highly acquisitive. Just Eat, for example, has gone nuts. The valuation's nuts at Just Eat, but they acquire everything, you know? It's a very competitive space. Now, Big Dish are looking to be disruptive. So their app is basically, they have a load of restaurants on their app, right? And it's called yield management. And what that means is if you book at certain times to go to eat at this restaurant, you'll get a discount. Because, of course, restaurants are generally busy, let's say, you know, from sort of 12 till 2 o'clock, and then from, 7 till 9, you know? So if you book outside those times, you get different discounts. So you get 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%. So on the app, you do a search. They've just launched in Bournemouth. They're launching in Bristol. They're launching, and they've identified 16 other cities. So all you need to do is, if you're taking your lady friend out for a meal, you know, look at the restaurants, say, oh, in fact, if we go half an hour earlier or half an hour later, we can get 20% off this. So it doesn't cost you anything. It saves you money. And also the restaurant are getting someone in on a certain time they wouldn't normally get. So they're not getting people bunched up, you know. It's at certain times of the day. So I think it's a no-brainer for restaurants. They do earn money they wouldn't normally earn because people are coming in at different times. And it's a no-brainer for the customer because it saves them money. It doesn't cost you anything on your app. It's a free app, you know. So it just costs the restaurant at like a pound per person CT, I think. That's what it's called. But this has got a bit of traction this week because they have hired a guy called, as a CEO, Sanj Nahar. And Sanj Nahar was at senior positions at TripAdvisor and Book a Table, you know. And he was in the restaurant space in TripAdvisor, not just holidays, but he was the main guy in TripAdvisor at the rest. So he knows the area very well. And he took it from, He took it from something like 11,000 restaurants, that's what he started with, and ended up with 36,000 restaurants over a two-year period. So he signed up to TripAdvisor, all that thing, and he's doing very well. And already he's come up with a strategy. So the day after he was announced, he's come up with a strategy of targeting two territories, 16 restaurants, I think he's going for. He's looking for locations in Bristol, Gloucester, Bath, Swindon, Oxford, Windsor, Slough, Exeter, Plymouth. So I like it. It's food tech. Mm-hmm. They're valued about 5 million. Like I said, at the moment, they've hit the bottom. But I just think it could go well. And do you know what? What's that other thing, the app that was taken out? Is another app, I can't think what it's called. Do you know what? You get a card, and you go along, and you get a discount. You pay a subscription level. You pay like 60 quid for a year, and you get discounts on restaurants. I can't think it was called. Anyway, it was bought out.
They've been around for ages, though.
Yeah, but they've been around for ages. But it was bought out in 2015 for 100 million. And this is a company where you have to pay 60 quid up front, for a year. Yeah. What are they called? It's not table pounds. It's called, I can't remember what they're called. But anyway, they were.
I have no idea.
They were in there. Let me just look up here. But anyway, what I'm saying is, it's a very acquisitive thing. And these are, understand, these are trying to disrupt the space. So no one does that. No one does this yield management. No one does it, right? So if they gain some traction, they probably will be taken out. I just like the concept. Of course, it's early stage. I don't know if it'll go anywhere, but they seem to be putting the right guys and they seem to be going, driving their strategy forward quite quickly. So I quite like it. What do you think, Steve?
I think it's a good concept, but I don't think it'd work. I don't think it's going to go crazy because I think people who want to go out for meals aren't going to change when they want to go. Most of the time I know when I go, and you'll have a look to see if there's a discount there at the time, but I wouldn't change when I'm actually going to eat just because I can get a discount. I personally wouldn't anyway.
No, but wouldn't you just check the app to see if you can get a discount? Because sometimes you get a discount, you know, it's like an half an hour here, half an hour there. It's not, you know,
but then that's no different to Voucher Cloud, and you have 100 sites around already.
No, it's not, because they don't do times. It's not based on times.
But that's my point, is if they're not going to be offering off the deals in the busy times when I'd probably go, or the probably rush hours when I'd normally go to a restaurant, I'm not going to go outside of those times. Would you?
Well, already, yes, I would, yeah. If I could save 40% or 20%.
He owns shares
in
the company.
No, but what I say is this. Yield management is new to the restaurant industry. It's not new elsewhere. American Airlines, I think, it was one of the airlines, basically disrupted the entire network by charging different prices at different times. Holidays as well, and hotels, they do it, you know? And so there's this option, this yield management is called. So,
yeah, but the difference is when you're going on a flight or a holiday, there's quite a lot of money at stake. So, of course, you're going to go at different times where it's cheaper. But when you're going out for a meal, I just don't think the average person, I think there will be people who go for it, but I just don't think it's going to go crazy.
And also, a lot of food related things is done on impulse and when you're hungry. So,
exactly. You're not going to suddenly say, I'm going to wait until...
I disagree with that. I think sometimes if you go out for a meal, you don't just do it straight away, do you? You say, okay, let's go out for a meal tomorrow or tonight. And you go, look at that.
Next time we're all together, we'll try and make Justin go for food at a time he doesn't want to go.
But hang on. If you say you go out for a meal tonight, right? I say, let's look on the app a second, right? So, if you go this time, you get 20% off. Or if you go half an hour later, we don't. So... would that not even sway you? Anyway, you're not sold on it? I quite like the tech.
I could see it having a place and people using it or whatever. I'm not sure it's going to be, you know, the next massive thing. But, it's okay. I'm not tempted to buy any shares.
Okay, no, were you tempted by Just Eat, though?
What, shares?
No, their concept. I never used Just Eat. I didn't understand. I would just say I'd call up the company themselves and get them to deliver, you know, all of that. Yeah. I never understood the idea of aggregating, takeaways like they have. But Just Eat now is worth $4.7 billion. It's like, what? Yeah. If you'd booked that at the time, you know, there was question. To me, there was questions over that tech, right? Boston just started, by the way, and one of the restaurants they've had have had 280 bookings already on the app, and one restaurant, and so they're saying they're ahead of expectations on their bookings, and so it's going quite well. So there we are, but boys. Okay, yeah, you're right.
I'm not saying it's not going to be a success. I'm just, you know, there's so many other things to invest in. I'm not particularly tempted to invest in that at the moment.
And let's be honest, they don't need to be too much of a pain, right, for someone like Just Eat, who are highly acquisitive, to take them out. And like I said, when you got, and I think, how much tail pants that had 7,000 restaurants? What was it called? That company, I don't know who was booked out. Tastecard had 7,000 restaurants, and they were bought for 100 million. And I don't think it'll be a big stretch for that guy, Sanj Nahar, to get to that level, you know? Yeah. It's all about numbers, and about validating the once you start getting the numbers in, you'll be fine. Anyway, that's
number two on the list. We'll be here all night at this rate.
No, I was going to say that's number two. Brave Bison, of course. Why didn't you get into that, guys? I kept getting. I'm bagged on this now. I'm bagged on it.
Did you?
How many times have I mentioned Brave Bison?
Not very often.
Yeah, I was eating out too much. I forgot.
Yeah. Weird times.
Yeah. If you go at 1 a.m, you can have it because it's free. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I forgot to buy Brave Bison.
Anyway, Brave Bison, of course, social media advertising. They've got lots of things going on. I did a video on them saying they've announced a very bullish trading update that they're now accumulating cash. They're going to be ahead of expectations, all that stuff. And so I thought, that's it. Piling. The only problem is with that, I didn't fill my boots massively because I was waiting for a pullback. I still am a little bit because I think there's plenty left in it. But there's a seller maybe in there. But anyway, that's Brave Bison. So all sort of techie sort of revenue companies so far. What's next? Up next is C4X Discovery. It's come off a lot. I still like the I still like Clive, the CEO. They're generating. They hope to generate the world's most prolific preclinical novel sort of drugs engine, discovery engine. You know, they're going to be working on about 40 programs that they'll partner up with clinical sort of clinicians or big companies before the clinical trials, and they get paid up front for this. They've done one deal already with Indiviva. They got paid them, what was it? I can't remember what it was. Was it $300 million, something like that? $3 million. So they've done that. And I think this year they'll start ramping up. You'll see a bit more news from them now this year. But again, we jumped in too early on that. And like they said, they're going to have no news for a long time. Are you still in that, C4X Discovery?
Yeah.
What else is there? This Powerhouse Energy, which is taking a bit of a knock today. And I know there's a lot of critics of this company because Keith Alone's been there. Keith Alone has resigned. The CEO of Powerhouse has resigned on Friday. Now, people have questioned this technology for a while. I think what was convincing about this, right, or what I liked about this company, I was in, I sold, I got back out, and I got back in. And what I like about it is David Ryan, who's now the CEO, came in. He was a big guy at ThyssenKrupp, which is an international engineering company, massive company. He was a big division there, highly respected engineer. He came in, he looked over the tech, he did months of study on it and report on it, and he said, yes, this is commercially viable, this tech. And he bought some stock at a higher level, a premium to the level it was at. And then they had an independent analysis of it with a reputable company as well. That company said, yes, the tech, they did a feasibility study, it's feasible, you know, it works. Then they announced sort of, they're in discussions with Toyota. Now, Toyota didn't announce this. Toyota came out and has also said this. Yeah, we are in discussions. We look forward to working with them. And I think a company like Toyota, it is the number one company in Japan, pretty much, you know. They wouldn't say that unless they were quite far along, I think, quite far along. You know, the discussions here, they wouldn't just come out on a whim and say, yeah, a new tech company, we're talking to them, yes, because they knew it'd have an effect on the share price, a listed company. So I like those three things. Keith has stepped down. Keith's had his critics for a while. I mean, they raised money in December. They had $650,000 at 0.5. now, that is a nominal amount price for the share, and if I'm correct, I don't think you can raise money below that. So they're at 0.5 a share. So if you can buy this stock below 0.5, unless they apply for, they have to go through quite a rigorous process to raise money, to change the nominal value of the share, the par value of the share, to below this, and it's not an easy process. So unless they do that, they can't raise money below 0.5. Anyway, I was down by, I think, by 15%, so I topped up on Friday of Powerhouse Energy. I like the tech, still very risky, but I think if it goes, you know, it's basically alchemy, isn't it? It's turning waste that no one wants in for plastics, rubber tires, all that stuff, into clean energy, syngas, which can be made into hydrogen, you know. So I think it's phenomenal. If that works, you can't get anything better than that. It's like, Steve, have a number two on my toilet. It's like this, me having a magical toilet. So Steve, have a number two in the toilet, out comes a gold coin. That's what it's like.
Is it? Okay.
You mustn't take that in Dragon's Den. Peter, come and sit in the toilet. Just have a number two.
God, can I just clarify, Steve, that wasn't a command. That wasn't a command. Right. No.
But that's a kind of you know, tech that is, you know? I mean, that's how good that is, I think. That's on a par with that. There's some limitations. You have to sort of segregate all the waste and all that before you put it in, but apparently that's not too hard. That's that. What else is there? There's Tuple, which I think is very undervalued. I mean, last time
in alphabetical order.
Sorry. I don't know where we've gone now. Hang on, let's give me the
Powerhouse. You must be in Predator still.
This Powerhouse, Predator on gas. Yes. Now this is an anomaly. This is the only one I don't have that is pre-revenue. I think is it? I think it is. Yeah, pre-revenue. So I just like the story there, the massive assets. I like the fact they will be generating revenue, hopefully soonish, and then they'll be using that to do farm out talks for the big Irish assets as well. But it's a clever thing. I like Paul Griffiths, the guy there. He owns a big chunk of shares. So I like Predator a lot. What else is there? I dipped my toe and my big toe in in Remote Monitor Systems, RMS.
Oh, yeah.
They are a 3.38 million market cap. Trevor Brown owns a big chunk of stock, and Nigel Burton holds a big chunk of stock. They raised $350,000 recently, which I think will last them for a year. But they do sort of drone data, sort of surveying drones, and they, you know, they'll do that for your drone data and all that for wind turbines. They've also got a part of the other business is monitoring. Wind turbines. Apparently, this is going to be a big industry. So they've got technology that monitor these wind turbines and tell you when they're starting to sort of. Because apparently, if you have to sort of service these things, it costs a lot of money, you know. Or if they break, it costs a lot of money. So yeah. this tech can monitor the balance and whether they are, you know, start spinning out of kilter. And so this tech. So apparently, they're in talks with two of the biggest wind turbine manufacturers. And there could be news announced on this soonish. So I quite like that. They've got some revenue, not a lot. It grew. In fact, let's have a look at this. So trading update. They rose 350. So they've got enough money for at least a year. Half yearly report. So yeah, 47% increase in revenue to 600,000. So not a lot. Operating loss of 200,000. So I quite like it because they're in a field. I quite like the tech really. I think it's in a field of wind turbines. Quite a, you know, ever-growing sort of field, clean energy. So I quite like that. And that's about it. And there's one more I'm not going to tell you about. No, it's Way Energy. Way Energy I'll tell you about. I like Way. Way
Education.
Yeah, Way Education. Yeah, online education. Growing field, right? It was announced. David Massey, the founder and the guy who brought the company together, it passed away over Christmas in their recent final results was sent to the thing. And it's a pity, but an awful thing. He had an open heart surgery, it stepped down, didn't go that well, and obviously he passed away. That's awful because he was the driving force behind this, but he's the man who had the vision sort of and brought companies together or acquired companies that existed. So he didn't create the companies, he acquired them and brought them together under the group of Way Education. Now, why I'm heartened by this is Barry Whipp, I like the name Barry Whipp, who's interim chairman, he's also the chairman of Crimson Tide, which reported very good results this week. And the stock price shot up, but he's in there. Also,
isn't Crimson Tide a euphemism?
Is it? No, I don't think it's called Crimson Tide. Is it?
I know, that's what you just said.
Tide. Hang on. Is it called Crimson Tide? It's called Crimson Tide. What's it a euphemism for, Peter?
I don't know. I've heard it used. I think.
Oh, okay. Is it something to do with ladies?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, carry on.
All right, Steve gives a laugh of recognition there.
Yeah, it's a little snigger in the background.
A hump of recognition. Anyway, he's interim chairman, right? He knows his stuff. He's obviously in charge of he turned around a small company called Tide, which is in tech. Also, Jacqueline, what's her name, Jacqueline? Basically, the interim CEO, she was the founder of the two core businesses of Way, you know? And so I'm quite confident it's in good hands. But also, if you look at how bullish, I've done a video on this company, you know, how bullish their results are and what they say. Like, essentially, turnover increased by 72.6% to 4.2 million. They're only valued at 10 million. They've got 4 million in cash, you know? So take that off, it's valued at 6 million. So, they say turnover expected to grow significantly again in the current year. The turnover, apparently, they have been averaging about 60% a year, and they intend to keep this going next year. And this is very bullish forward recognition. I think it's David Massey, the passing of David Massey, that's had a massive impact on the share price. Share Magazine, like I said last week, I think I mentioned it, they give this a tip at 38 pence. They said buy a bi-tip share magazine, it's now 7.8 pence. So I just think this is a cash generative company, right? They didn't generate cash last year because they did marketing on billboards and stuff. Normally, they just market via Facebook. And they said, in fact, this is the most success. We're not going to do this. We tried a different kind of marketing technique last year. And we also spent some money going to China and Nigeria. We're not going to spend too much money on overseas because the majority of their work is done from the UK anyway. There is a potential to expand. But without that, it'll be fine. So I think the costs will come down this year. I think it'll be a pre-tax profit, and I think they'll still be expanding. But it's a very unloved share, and people are not getting it, I don't think. We'll wait and see the results. But I just think it's online education, it's only going to get bigger, I think. And these guys are one of the leaders in the field. So that's way.
One stock you skipped by was Tuple. You mentioned it briefly.
Oh, Tuple. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
That's part of your 10.
Yeah, Tuple's fine. Yeah. Listen, a small little telecoms company, right? 2.5, I'm looking at it now, 2.53 million market cap. They've got about a million in cash. I think they've changed gear. Since their results in September, the finals was the end of September, October was a record month of sales. November beat October. Now, we haven't had an update. I mean, when Andy came on, it was December, and he said it's going very well for December. He said December's never going to be a record month because it's December and there's seasonality. People break for Christmas. People don't want to change their telecom supplier during Christmas. You know, they don't want a hassle. So, but he was quite bullish. So I expect hopefully we'll get some kind of update soon. But I just think Tuple, again, is unloved. They're just placing, massively discounted placing, massively dilutive. A lot of haters in there. But I think, and they said, we don't need any cash now. This cash we've raised will get us a cash flow positive. So this is a business, growing, will need no more cash until they get a profitability. Now, I've heard other companies say this, not do it, not achieve it. But, so we get to see that. But they've said that a couple of times. Not just once. It's not just once they said that a mistake in one release. Because I've seen some companies say it once, and then, subsequent releases, drop it. But no, Andy's come on and said it a couple of times, and they reiterate that. And so they're obviously happy with the sales. And I think, to a certain extent, it'll get to the stage where it'll be taken out. It's not valued. It's just not valued. And I say, it's almost a cash-generative company, growing in sales, and it's not valued. They're cash. We don't need to go back to the market. So rest assured, no more fundraising is needed. They're just building the company. It's not a problem,
Yeah. And it's had a bit of a sort of down week. I did top up a bit in it because,
tube up and top, tube top.
Tooped up, yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know when the next... I think the interims, if they keep doing these record numbers, the interims, I think, will be on par with their finals from last year. So I don't know when people are going to catch on, but I like Tube. And like I said...
I'm definitely preferring that to Dish. But each to their own.
But momentum, you see. Look at Dish now. It's today, it's up to, on Friday, 20%. Yeah, do you know what? Like I said, valuation wise, Tuple can do, it'll be four times and it'll be valued at 10 million, which is nuts, absolutely crazy. So, I like the potential. I've one more I've bought into, and do you know what? It's a stock revisit. I had it before, I got rid of it, and I did a stock revisit. And,
is it a snooze box?
No, they're dead. They are finally. They've taken their last snooze.
They
didn't wake up. Anyway, listen. I'll do a video on the weekend. I'll cover it. By the way, I know I'm not in. I do you know what? I got out of United Oil and Gas. I love Brian. I love what he's doing. But do you know what? I did a thing on. When I'm in the shower, sometimes I think things. I love the shower for me. It's very cathartic. I think about things very deeply. Six hours later, Megan said, "Get out of the shower." And I thought this, and I did a little thing on this. If you're on Instagram, check me out, guys. I'm doing videos on there. The shower. I'll do one of those. Yeah, Steve's going to follow me then. If you're in the shower naked, yeah, all right. But
at last, some good content.
I did a thing about known unknowns, unknown unknowns. Now, to me, United Oil and Gas got an amazing portfolio, and I want to get back in there. But I think, hang on, there's a risk coming up that I know about. There's odds on. It's not odds against. It's not. It's 58% chance of risk of success on Coulter. So it's over halfway. So there's odds on. So the chances are it can happen, even though it's just slightly over 50%. And if it's strike oil and it's commercial, and it's an appraisal well, by the way, I think the share price will go bananas. But like any banana share price, it comes back a bit. You know, you get people who've been in for a while will probably use that opportunity to sell. So if they do get successful, I will buy back in, definitely, because I love the portfolio that they have, and I think they will be a mini major, you know? But I just realised that's a risk I can avoid if I want. So I decided to step out and avoid that risk, you know? Having said that, I'll miss the opportunity to, I don't know how far it'll go up if it's successful, I'll miss that, you know, that initial pump up in the share price, but I'll accept that. I'll accept that the risks of the reward, you know. So I'm taking away that risk and taking away that reward. But then once it comes back down, I'll get back in. Because to me, then they've got a fantastic portfolio. They've got Italian assets already in production. They've got Crown, which in fact they announced a CPR, didn't they? Which is a CPR is a competent person's report. Now It's good they get a competent person to do this. I'm just thinking, it must have been a time where they just got an incompetent person, you know, and it didn't really work out. And said, where's the guy who's measuring our resources? He hasn't even turned up. I didn't book the competent guy, didn't you? No, I just booked an incompetent guy, don't we? So guy just turns up in his pyjamas and, you know, odd matching slippers and whatever, an odd hat on. I'm here to look at your resources.
Steve.
We need to get a competent guy to do this, not this incompetent fool. So the competent person's report is basically they look at the geology and seismic, all the data they have, and they plot out what the potential is, you know? And so United Oil and Gas is, the Crown and Waddick Cross, the competent person's report, came to about 6.5 million barrels of unrisked net, unrisked 2C oil contingent resources, of 6.45 million. So that's worth a lot. So now the portfolio value of risk portfolio is worth about 80 million, you know, for United Oil and Gas, which is obviously decent. But like I say, this competent person's report is just based on the geology and seismic. Now, you don't know if you're going to be successful until you actually put the drill down there and drill the thing, you know? So that's it. So it's just a guide. But if it is right, that could be what could be down there. Could be more than that, you know? So I just thought, I know the risk. I'm prepared to stand outside and not take the risk.
And I know the risk, and I'm prepared to stand inside of it. Let's, you know, let's see how we go.
Well, you'll be laughing if it comes off. I'll be happy as well, because I want to get back in, and I'll be happy for all the holders, you know, because I think Brian, all the guys, they're fantastic. But I'll get back in,
That's the thing, isn't it? Because that will give you the confirmation. And I think, you know, we've said this before. We're always you end up looking for the next big thing. And where in fact, all you need is confirmation of you ones that you've researched, you know, you understand. You just need perhaps a bit more confirmation, and then that could go upwards and onwards. So, I get where you're coming from, but I'm happy to sit and hold and run the gauntlet a bit.
No, exactly. I mean, do you know what? And I often say, you know, that listen, you haven't got any control of the share price or anything like that. All you can control is your exposure to it. So as long as you are, relevant, exposed to a relevant level, not overexposed, you know, in fact, maybe bring it down to like, you know, if you say maximum exposure, if you're super confident on a company that's turning over cash, generating revenue, all that, you're super confident, you expose yourself 10% of that, you know, pretty much. Now, if you're not very confident, you can ratchet that down to 5%, 2%, whatever. And then once you've got a bit of skin in the game, you tend to sort of pay more attention to the stock. But, I may even put a little tiny toe back in. I don't know. It depends where the ship I
see. See you. Tempted already.
I play the no risk game here. And so listen, this is what I got. Two options, haven't I? If it doesn't go well, the stock price will tank. I haven't lost anything. If it goes well, I've missed out on that initial pump up that'll go nuts, maybe 10, 20, 30%. Who knows where to go? I don't know. But of course, it'll come back a little bit on a weakness. And do you know what? I've been looking at charts a lot more recently on the RSI, waiting for it to cool off. Never buy anything, pretty much, if the RSI is above 50-odd. Above 70-odd. You know, wait for it to come back. Wait for it to come back means cool off. Then scale back in. And so that's what I'll do. I'll just look at the chart, wait for it to come back a little bit at support levels and buy there. Because then that's completely dearest. Confirmation is commercial. And I think then they could go on to be a triple digit market cap company, you know? But there we are.
Cool.
Anything you're holding, guys, that you want to chat about? Anything, you know?
No, I think you've covered the ones I'm sort of really interested in, and the other ones in my portfolio are a bit, you know, one day they'll recover.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. By the way, do you know what? I just looked there. That's a cracking gif on Twitter of, you know, Jordan Belfort, played by, what's his name, Leonardo, where he's just clapping, you know? And I've just said, I've said, well done, Gav. This is about Gavin, who's stepped down from BT, the CEO. So well done, Gav. You took the SP from £5 down to £2.30. In return, you got £1 million bonus, get paid £775,000 and fees, £15,000 bonus, benefits till October, and £203,000 pension allowance. And I said, well done, fella.
I mean, how can you... left.
He's last day, the results yesterday, didn't they, BT? Which is odd. So it bounced down massively, then came back, which the forward guidance was very encouraging. It's going towards the top end, they said. So I think it's looking decent for. I mean, it's taken a bit of a. It's taken its time. Do you know what? It's been so long, isn't it, BT? But you're getting dividends. I think you should consider, if you're less active in the market, you should consider putting half your portfolio in funds, in a tracker fund.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, I don't know if you're looking on Instagram. I've done 10 things you need to think about before investing in the stock market. And I go right to the basics, you know. First of all, why invest in the stock market? And I talk about funds. And I say even the worst... Do you know, the FTSE 100, if you look at a tracker on the FTSE 100, it's one of the worst performers ever in the last 10 years. And it's ranked 22 out of 23. But even then... Over 10 years, you've got 67%. So, you know, 6.7% a year. You won't get that in a bank, you know?
No.
So if you've done the best tracker, which was the NASDAQ 100, you returned 486% over 10 years. That's doing nothing. Just chucking your money in, tracking the top biggest stocks in the tech, in the index, which is like, you know, all the guys like Facebook and all that stuff. And you're almost five times your money. So I just think if you are less active, you know, I, every now and again, I buy and sell, and you don't, and you obviously won't and stuff. But I think you should think about almost putting 50% of your not yet. I'd say put 10% in now, right? Every time you have a big dip in the markets and you see on the news, oh, stock markets are on the world, taking a tumble, put another 10% in, you know, your portfolio.
If you do that on
every dip on one of these tracker funds, every dip just buy some more, you'd be laughing over like 10, 20 years.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yes. What are you thinking, FTSE rather than S&P or...
Well, you can do anything. I mean, it's an ETF. Yeah. It's called iShares. If you look at... they'll always show you the last 5 years of performance.
Yeah, I had a Vanguard one two or three years ago, and you know, that did well. And then I just kind of got tempted too much into the AIM stocks, really. But yeah.
Well, I was the same. I made quite a bit of money about 10 years ago on it. So I pulled it all out and put it into AIMs and then lost it all. So...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you have half in there, you know, you'd be fine. Yeah. You won't. You can may have a good 10 bag on the AIM, but you'll also have that backbone of earning that. You know, half your money will be earning sort of 10% a year or something, whatever. And so I think that's a good idea, don't you?
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
So next time we have a rally now because the Chinese apparently and I got to laugh at this. They made. Did you see that? There's more. You know, bad news coming from China and Japan and all that stuff. You know, I don't know if I mentioned that, but did I mention that at the start of the podcast or not? But they had one of the worst slowdowns ever in 3 years in China and Japan, factory activity, all that stuff. It was all bad news. But what else was I was going to say something else then. I just lost my train of thought. Sorry, guys. I'm scared. Now, what was it you were saying, Steve? What did you say?
He was in a tracker fund.
Sorry. That's about China and America trade deal. They said today that they're going to have the trade deals are going well. The chats in progress are going very well, apparently. And what I found, where's my five things? This is what they said. This is what they said today. So the trade deals between China and America are going well. China's trade delegation says it made important progress in the latest round of talks with the U.S., China states the media report. At the end of a two-day meeting in Washington, no deal was reached, but China has pledged to buy more soybeans.
Hurrah!
In 2 days, is that all you've come to? You've not agreed anything, and they just walked down and said, no, we buy more soybeans. All right! So we buy more. That's it. That's all you come down to.
You only mentioned that story so you could slip in your Chinese.
Yeah, I was just thinking that's
impression
all that,
right at the end. Yeah. Marvelous.
But that's all it's come down to is that. So I think if they come to a deal, we'll have a decent rally on. And I think if, we haven't even mentioned the B word this week. But also, if it comes down to the stage where something will be done, I think a deal will be done. It's got to be done. It's so catastrophic. You know, it's not good for business on anyone's side not to get a deal done. I think we'll have a cracking rally this year. But I think we'll still have a slowdown generally. But I think what you should do then, take advantage of the cracking rally, get some in the cash, and start doing a tracker fund. You can even get tracker funds that do big dividend pays, you know. So, and of course, the share price goes down, dividend yield goes up. So, So I'd put a backbone of your market. As you get older, you guys, you'd be less risk averse. You've got to take less risks, you know. So, if you're 20, it's okay to be punting Bitcoin and AIM stocks, but you guys are getting on. So you've got to start putting some away now for retirement, you know. So I'd say about... In fact, that's a very good thing. Have you seen those Vanguard Life Strategy funds? So you can vary the amount of equity. So you've got a 100% sort of equity, or you can do 80. So you've got 80% equity, 20% in fixed income like bonds and stuff. The less risk of it. It always goes down to 20%. So you have 20% in equity. So as you get older, the theory is... As every year you get older, every decade goes past, you ratchet down equity and you ratchet up fixed income, you know, so you get a return better than the banks, but it isn't risky, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Does that make any sense, Steve?
Yeah.
What's wrong, Steve?
He hasn't had lunch yet. He's getting grumpy.
Oh, no, I've had my lunch.
He's had his lunch while we're doing the podcast.
Has that soup depressed you, Steve?
No, not at all.
Oh, you just seemed a bit...
No, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah.
Good. Right, I'm going to have some soup now.
Mm. All right, boys. Nice to chat to you. And
it's been lovely.
Is there anything else you want to chat about?
Soup.
No. It's lunchtime, isn't it?
You just had something, Steve. Do you have pudding, Steve, or dessert or something sweet afterwards?
Yeah, I'll have a yoghurt or something.
A yoghurt? You're quite sensible, aren't you?
Oh, I'll probably have a Terry chocolate orange as well.
What? You're just trying to be crazy now, Steve. He just changed his mind, Nick, didn't he? Quickly. I'll have a chocolate as well. And a burger and a Mars bar, I don't care. And then I'll snort some crack.
A little bag of those little pieces ones with exploded candy in.
Okay.
Well, I'll have a few slices of that.
Guys, this is fascinating, but
I can't understand why you're single. Right. Rock and roll, guys. Speak next week. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Right, good. Right, I've got to get that bit on. Right, good. I'd better go and do some work.
All right, tell them.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.